Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. The levels of groundwater around the world have been in decline. This is true across the United States and in parts of Oregon, leading to decreases in river and stream base flows, less water in wetlands, and wells running dry. Joining the exchange to shed more light on the issue is Dr. Bill Jaeger, a professor at Oregon State in the Department of Applied Economics. Welcome, Dr. Jaeger.
Thanks. Good morning.
Well, let's start with a better understanding of what is meant by groundwater and why is it important?
Groundwater, an aquifer, it's a stored amount, often a large amount of stored water below the surface, and that makes it convenient in the sense that people wanting to farm or needing a well often, usually, can drill down and access water below them, and that's a very convenient way to get water. The fact that the water supply, that stock of water, is connected often across very large areas, and so when one person, one irrigator, for example, uses water, it has an impact on users of water nearby and sometimes at fairly long distances.
Well, give us a sense of what that long distance is. What's the geographic footprint of an average aquifer?
Oh, boy, I'm not sure I could give you that. I'm not a hydrologist. You know, the Harney Basin, the model that we used, produced by Steve Gingrich and his team at U.S. Geological Survey, essentially shows that that entire basin is connected as an aquifer. Some areas, the connection is slower than between other parts of that basin, but you know the Ollagalla Aquifer in the middle of the country covers multiple states, so it varies quite a lot.
Okay, so give us a sense of the geographic footprint of the aquifer you just mentioned.
Right, so the entire Harney Basin in southeastern, I guess, Oregon, there are 65,000 acres of groundwater irrigated land. There's the towns of Burns and Hines, rivers and streams, the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, that entire basin, which is a closed basin, meaning that there's no surface water outflow from the basin. It's all connected in terms of the water, surface waters flowing toward the lowland areas, and in terms of the groundwater aquifer being interconnected. So even across, a distance of, 50 miles, one well is to some degree going to influence the water in a well quite a distance away.
So what's the key problem that you and your team have identified?
We didn't identify. Well, to some degree, the problem is well known. Groundwater is mysterious. It's below ground. It's hard to know how much is down there and how quickly or slowly it recharges. But because we know so little, there's so much uncertainty, it's very difficult to know when we've reached the point where the amount of pumping exceeds the recharge, so that continued pumping at a given level is going to cause the water levels to decline. The stock is going to decline because the recharge of that aquifer can't keep up with the amount being pumped. And one of the things we did show with our model that was calibrated using data over many decades, and then we ran scenarios, we were able to show that the point at which people began to understand or to recognize that there was a pretty serious problem of groundwater declines in the Harney Basin was probably 20 years after the point at which new permits for groundwater should have been halted if they wanted to keep a stable groundwater level.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say, if I'm interpreting it correctly, is that by the time we had enough information to understand the critical levels of groundwater in the Harney Basin, it was already too late.
Well, it was already too late in the sense of a stable groundwater level. It meant that to stabilize the groundwater level at some point after that. It was around 2015-16 that people began to recognize that there was a pretty widespread problem. And right now, Oregon Water Resources Department, stakeholders, and other groups are trying to come up with a plan to stabilize the groundwater, and that's going to mean pretty significant cutbacks by people who were given permits and were led to believe that it was okay for them to, you know, irrigate hay and earn a living from it.
So what are the effects to the ecosystem if the groundwater levels drop to a crisis level?
Well, you know, again, that's something that varies from basin to basin and aquifer to aquifer. There may be aquifers where there are no external or other kinds of environmental effects. I think, you know, at some level, there is going to be some effect. In the case of the Harney Basin, there's the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. There are lowland flows and springs that feed streams, recreation areas. It's a very popular area for camping and fishing and especially bird watching. So the average flows that feed those ecosystem services had already declined by about a third when the hydrology model was calibrated for the year 2018. So they'd already, compared to the 1990s, those flows had been reduced by a third at that point. So what's being talked about now as a way to stabilize the groundwater, that's stabilizing it at a lower level, lower stock of water, which would mean a lower outflow of environmental flows for groundwater-dependent ecosystems.
My guest is Dr. Bill Jaeger, a professor at Oregon State in the Department of Applied Economics. We're talking about the diminishing groundwater levels in parts of Oregon. So what I understand is that this basin is closed, and that means that you're not seeing above-level rivers and streams of that nature. Is that correct?
Well, a closed basin just means that there's no surface, there's no river that flows out of the Harney Basin. There is a small amount of groundwater that can flow to the east, but I think the way to think about it is it's fed by rain and snow in the Steen Mounds and the Blue Mountains, and that's the supply that comes in every year and can recharge, and for, you know, hundreds of years, that's the way that aquifer and the surface water and the ecosystems have relied on that flow. There was an increase in the amount of groundwater irrigation since the 1990s, and given that lag in the changes in the aquifer and our ability to recognize that maybe the pumping levels cannot be sustained, that's what took some time and what has led to a recognition that the balance between inflow and outflow is not stable, and it's going to be very costly and difficult to move to a more stable and sustainable use of groundwater.
Okay, so the economics just don't work. What's the time of recharge for that groundwater just to keep it stable?
What's the time? So the model sort of has recharge and pumping on an annual basis. So you could, given the assumptions of our model, which sort of assumes an average year in terms of recharge, et cetera, and pumping, one could fairly quickly stabilize the groundwater, but at a level significantly lower than it was, say, in the 1990s. That could be done in terms of the hydrology. That could be done, in a matter of several years. But given the economics, given the number of people who have invested a great deal in their irrigation operations, their center pivot equipment, et cetera, what's being looked at is a more gradual adjustment over at least 10 years to try to reduce the dependence on that groundwater so it can be stabilized.
Okay, I'm having a little bit of a difficult time understanding the gradualness over 10 years when we're talking about something that is sort of crisis level already or seemingly crisis level.
Well, right. So the gradualness is intended to focus on the impacts of the farmers and the communities, that trying to have the community out there, the agricultural community, cut in half the amount of the number of acres that are groundwater irrigated, that would be a huge hit on the economy and on households and the community and the tax base, et cetera. So a focus on gradual adjustments is trying to take into account those human and economic considerations. And because of that gradualness, the groundwater levels would likely continue to decline somewhat until they reach that sustainable level of pumping.
Are we talking about small farms or large-scale industrial?
I wouldn't use the word industrial, but there are many sizes. There are small households. There are several that are quite large, but these are, to a large extent, members of the community who have been there for generations, and it's their livelihood, and they have livestock and alfalfa. They grow alfalfa. A fair amount of it's exported, but some of it they use to feed their cattle.
Is it possible to subsidize their loss so that they're not suffering, and at the same time speed up the rate at which we're preserving and conserving this groundwater?
Yeah, that's an idea that's been talked about quite a bit, and in fact, I believe they have received or expect a grant from the federal government for a conservation reserve enhancement program that would essentially pay some farmers to stop irrigating certain acres as a way to help in that transition.
That's not a new idea. We paid farmers to stop doing things before, right?
That's right, yep.
So what do your alternative solutions recommend for the economics of farming in this region?
Well, one of the things that came out of the analysis for us is a more general observation about the way water law and groundwater management in Oregon is practiced compared to other states. Many states, the western states, use prior appropriations, water law, the seniority system for surface water. But in this case, Oregon, years ago, decided to apply that same seniority system to groundwater. And given the way it's been developed, it doesn't allow the managers who may see that they've gotten to the point where they've given out more permits in a groundwater aquifer than can be sustained. They don't have an automatic or an effective, short, timely mechanism to reduce those permitted pumping levels. I make the analogy to a fishery. We have many coastal fisheries in Oregon, and to the large extent, they're managed extremely efficiently. But one key part of that is that we have the ability, through management, to have a total allowable catch for a particular fishery. And as we have new information about the stock, the growth of the stock, we can adjust that total allowable catch up or down depending on that information. With groundwater in Oregon, we don't have a mechanism for the Oregon Water Resources Department in a timely manner to adjust downward the amount of water pumped. That priority system I mentioned, the surface water system, works quite well that way because the water's on the surface, and you can see a senior water right holder and a junior water right holder, and if they see that there's not enough water in the stream for both of them to divert the water to irrigate their farms, it's easy to see that the junior water right holder has to stop irrigating because the senior water right holder has the right to go first, right, and get the water that they need.
That makes sense because the evidence is evident. Unfortunately,
that's, right.
That's all the time we have. Thank you, Dr. Jaeger.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
My guest was Dr. Bill Jaeger, a professor at Oregon State in the Department of Applied Economics.